Thanks. Well, I'm like Edward said, I'm going to talk about background checks, but I'm also going to talk about the main federal law that we have that protects that information. So it's not that your employer can just get everything and do background checks on you willy-nilly. There are some limits there. And then I want to talk a bit about where the information actually comes from, which is primarily from credit bureaus and data aggregators. And I just want to take a quick little poll right now. How many of you have heard of ChoicePoint? Axiom? Okay, so not very many. So I'm going to talk a bit about data aggregators because they're very important players in this. And then I want to move on to what you can do, and I have some URLs that I can share with you if you want to get more information. And I have this. It's a link that you can click on a website, and if you click on it, it will give you more information about whatever the topic is that you want to look at. So I'll leave this presentation here, and then if I don't know if there's a way to make copies, you can, or you can just copy it down yourself, but it'll be here for you. So I just want to give a few statistics about background checks. Last year, 2003, over 80% of the companies out there performed criminal background checks. And of those 80%, 35% are now performing credit checks. And that's up. The study that I looked at, they compared data from 2003 to 1996. The criminal background checks are up from about 50% from 1996 and 19% from 1996. So that's kind of the general lay of the land in terms of how prevalent it is in today's society. ChoicePoint, who I mentioned just a minute ago, they're one of the places where you're going to get the information, and they stated that of the about 8 million background checks that they do per year, only about 0.005% of those records are erroneous and they have to result in a check. But we're going to come back to that because I have a little show-and-tell item for you that you can look at, and you can decide for yourself whether or not that's an accurate statement. So the main law that we have is called the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and that's what's going to protect you from having your employer just do any kind of background checks at any time. Now, the Fair Credit Reporting Act covers a lot of different things, but in terms of background checks, it basically has three components, and that is when an employer or a potential employer wants to do a background check on you, they have to get written authorization from you first. So whether you're an applicant for a job or whether you're already in an existing job and they want to do a background check on you, they have to get written consent first. Also, they have to share the results with you, again, whether or not you're an applicant or whether you're in a current job, and they have to give you an opportunity to dispute those results before they take any kind of action. So whether or not they deny you the position that you've applied for, whether they fire you, whether they demote you, whatever the result is, they have to give you an opportunity first to dispute those results. Now, the places where the data resides, where they're getting the data, are from the credit bureaus and from the data aggregators. Now, credit reports, which is where your information is, those are held by the credit bureaus, and there's three main ones. There's Equifax, Experian, and TransUnion. And I have information on how to contact those entities. I can give it to you at the end, but I've got their phone numbers, physical addresses, and websites, so you can get that information. And what your credit report actually holds in it are kind of some of the things you would think that it would have, like debts that you owe, how much you owe on those debts, bankruptcies that are less than 10 years old, criminal records that are less than 7 years old. Things that you're not going to find in a credit report are medical records, bankruptcies that are more than 10 years old, and criminal records that are more than 7 years old, and that's a California law. You're also not going to find for employers. They won't be able to access your age, marital status, or race. Data aggregators, on the other hand, have a much broader range of information that they collect. They get information from court records. So if you're in the midst of a divorce, they'll have access to that. If you have parking tickets, speeding tickets, you know, whatever, they'll have access to that. Public records. So anything like if you own property and you have tax records, they'll have access to that. And just a variety of other things that are of dubious use and accuracy, like sweepstakes information. If you send in warranty card registrations, they'll have all of that kind of information. So, and if you check off the little boxes, like for the demographic info, they'll have all of that. Axiom boasts that they have personal information on 90% of the population of the United States. So it's pretty vast. And as I mentioned, when I first started, I have my little show and tell. I actually did a background check on myself using information from one of the major data aggregators, and I have it. And as you can see, it's like 20 pages long, and all these little green flags are all the errors. And they range from just the unimportant, like they've got my significant other in this report with no Social Security number. No big deal. But they also have a list of places where I've lived over the last 10 years, and they've missed some, but they've actually added some of places where I've never lived. They've got cars listed that I've never owned. They have people in my report that they think are my relatives but actually aren't. And what makes that even worse is that they have these people in my report, and they have all their addresses where they lived and all the phone numbers that are associated with that address, and their Social Security numbers. So not only is the information wrong to begin with, but now they've given me all of this personal information that belongs to somebody else. So, you know, if I weren't a good person, you know, if I wanted to commit identity theft, I have everything I need right here to do that for all the people that are in my file. And they've not only are they perpetuating bad information about me, but they're creating vulnerabilities for other people who have nothing whatsoever to do with me. And probably the most serious thing that they have that I found in my background check is there's a little note that says that that people who want to hire me, there's a possible Texas state criminal history for me, and they recommend a manual search of the Texas criminal history database using my name. Well, I've only actually been to Texas once for a conference. It lasted a day, and that's not enough time for me to get in trouble. So, you know, the records are obviously false, but would that actually stop me from getting a job? You know, if it were offered, I don't know. And, you know, it might be enough for a potential employer, you know, who is looking at that to just say, you know, she's probably trouble. You know, we don't want to deal with her. And I might not know about that. Because it's coming, this isn't a credit bureau information, this is a data aggregator piece of information. So it's very important to know about these places, these data aggregation companies, and ChoicePoint and Axiom are the two main ones, but there are others. And so you should just be aware and, you know, act accordingly. When someone wants to do a background check on you, you know, find out where that information is coming from so that you can check the accuracy of it. So what can you do about this? Well, I recommend you do what I did. Do a background check on yourself. You can get one from ChoicePoint for $20. You can get one from Axiom for $5. And when you get it, you should check it page by page for accuracy. And if there are any errors in the file, you should send that information back to them and demand that they correct it. Under the Fair Credit Reporting Act, if there are inaccuracies in this data, they actually have to correct it. And that's the same thing with your credit report. And you should order your credit report about once a year anyway, because last year there were over 10 million people who were victims of identity theft. And one of the main ways that you can find it out sooner rather than later is by looking at your credit report. And again, they're bound by the Fair Credit Reporting Act to correct the errors that are in your credit report. So that's just something that you should do. You should also check court records and public records just to make sure that those are accurate. Because a lot of times if you're in the midst of some process, it's not that the record itself is incorrect. It's just it might not be updated yet. So you might want to just see where it is in that process, whether, like I said before, are you in the midst of a divorce? Are you buying property? Are you selling property? What are you doing? So just make sure that those records are correct. And then follow up, because a lot of times what we have found is that the information, you may think that it's correct and that it's all fine, but you know, you check 2 months later and the error has somehow reappeared back in your file. So, I mean, it's going to take a little bit of diligence on your part to make sure that information is correct. But, you know, again, it's worth doing just because we don't actually know how bad the information from the data aggregators is. We know from a study that the PIRGS did with regard to credit reports that almost 70% of them have some kind of an error in them, and there were 30% of the errors were serious enough to prevent to cause someone to either lose their job or not get a job. And the data aggregator companies are not regulated the way the credit bureaus are. So we just there's no reason to think that in a situation like the credit bureaus where it's heavily regulated and the errors are that great, that in an unregulated area such as the data aggregation companies, that it's going to be any better. So, just checking and seeing what kind of information is actually out there about you is probably a good thing. And then, as I mentioned at the beginning, I have a couple of slides, and you can't see them, but I mean, this is like all the information that you want to contact the credit bureaus and ChoicePoint and Axiom. And I think what I'll do is just leave it here. And then if you're interested in copying it down or photocopying it, you can do that. I mean, you're welcome to take all of whatever's here. You're welcome to it. Also, if you want more information, there's a couple of websites that you might want to go to get more information. One is EPIC, which is the Electronic Privacy Information Center. And they have a couple of pages, one on ChoicePoint and one on workplace privacy issues. And they're very thorough, very good pages. So you might want to go there. They're epic.org. And then if you just scroll through, there's a little, I think it's on the left side of the page. And it's called like Privacy from A to Z or something like that. You click on that and you'll find the link for ChoicePoint and for the workplace privacy issues. And then also the Privacy Rights Clearinghouse, which is privacyrights.org. They have a lot of information on identity theft and what you can do if you become a victim of identity theft and ways that you can prevent yourself from becoming a victim. But they also have pages on workplace privacy and financial privacy so that, and how to get your credit report, et cetera. So if you don't get it from here, you can get it from Privacy Rights Clearinghouse. And then also my site, privacyactivism.org. We're not as old as Privacy Rights Clearinghouse or EPIC, but we're starting to create some archives on information that you can use on workplace privacy issues and just on, surveillance, general surveillance type issues like these background checks. So that's it. That's my presentation. So I guess we'll do questions at the end.